All right, our third case is number 17-13751, Ron Goins versus Carnival Corporation. And Mr. Hayashi, whenever you're ready. Well, the style of the case has everyone who was initially listed, and the formal one I have has both Carnival and Royal Caribbean, but Royal Caribbean listed second. That might have been a transmission error from the district court docket sheet, but that's what I have. We'll make sure we have it right by the time we decide the case.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, is there one appellee or two?
There's one appellee.
Yeah, which is Royal Caribbean.
Yes.
Carnival is listed, but they're not an appellee.
Yes, I think I know what happened.
Is that right?
Judge, no, Carnival's not an appellee, Your Honor.
Okay. They are in the case. They're a named party.
Yes, I think it's because
not an appellee right here.
I think it's because the initial complaint had incorrectly listed Carnival, and I believe that was the reason the complaint was amended the first time.
Okay.
Right. The problem, it's not a problem for anybody, but when we get docket sheets in the style of the case, they remain as they were in the district court, even if the parties are different. So it may not reflect the actual reality of who's before us. But
correct.
Go right ahead.
Yes. May it please the court. Good morning, Judge Jordan, Judge Grant, Judge Hall. My name is Matthias Hayashi, and I represent the plaintiff and appellant, Mr. Ronald Goins. So this appeal is about a case where a cruise ship passenger, Mr. Goins, was injured when he was playing a game called the Quest Game on the Royal Caribbean vessel, the Liberty of the Seas. He was injured because of the negligent operation of the Quest Game, and because of that, because they didn't enforce their own safety rules, because they didn't have proper rules regarding safe footwear for the game, he fell down a flight of stairs that had inadequate heights, riser heights and tread depths, and inadequate handrail, and he fell all the way down to the stage where he dislocated a shoulder and tore it.
But all of those things that you mentioned, Mr. Hayashi, not all of those are causally related to the injury, viewing the evidence in light most favorable to your client. As I understand the record, and maybe I don't have it right, he was injured when he was coming out of his row, and the flip-flop he was wearing caught on one of the armrests of one of the chairs toward the end of that row. And that's when he fell, and that's when he was injured, right?
Well, correct, Your Honor. His fall started when his flip-flop caught the armrest on a seat in the front row as he was leaving his row. But his injury didn't actually complete until he had fallen all the way down the stairs. So his injury happens sequentially a bit later after his flip-flop initially catches the armrest. At that point, he stumbles down the stairs. He can't catch his balance. There's no handrail for him to hold on to. And then he falls to the stage below, and he dislocates his shoulder, and he suffers a full-thickness torn rotator cuff.
Your third-party complaint is what we're here on, right?
Yes, the third amended complaint, absolutely, Judge Hall.
Yes, and you filed a Fourth Amendment complaint that the district court denied because it was late, and you didn't appeal any abuse of discretion as to the Fourth Amendment complaint. Have I got that right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay, so I'm going to go to the Third Amendment complaint that outlines 19 acts of negligence. Is that correct? It's very specific.
Correct, Your Honor.
Is that right? And part of what Judge Williams did here, she said the footwear claim, which actually you put in your Fourth Amendment complaint, and the failure to enforce the rules. It wasn't a matter they didn't have rules. They had rules. They said, don't run, don't do this, blah, blah, blah. But they weren't enforcing them because people were still running. The failure to enforce the rules and not having a rule that you can't wear flip-flops, you must have other types of shoes. The district court, for better or worse, said that's not in the case. And it's identified in the Fourth Amendment complaint, but it's not in the third amended complaint. Now, how did the district court err? Because you stand up and you start out with, it's a flip-flop, not safe footwear situation, and did not enforce the rules of no running, that kind of thing. How do we even have those claims?
So, well, Judge.
Because she didn't let them go to the jury, right?
Not those claims, Your Honor.
Yes, okay.
Well, Your Honor, the Third Amendment complaint was very clear that Royal Caribbean encouraged its passengers to rush, and as a result, Mr. Goines caught his foot on an armrest and fell down the flight of stairs. And it's important to note that one does not just catch one's foot, typically, if one has bare feet. So it's clear that he's catching his foot on his footwear. In this case, that's sandals. But Mr. Goines, in no unequivocal terms, pled that Royal Caribbean encourages passengers to rush, and later in his section on why Royal Caribbean was negligent, how it breached its duty of care to him, he alleged...
I thought he said he didn't run.
And that's correct, Judge Jordan. He did not run.
Well, how can there be again, going back to the earlier question, how... I understand some of the theories you've pled, but it seems to me that as to at least some of them, there isn't a causal connection between the alleged breach and the injury that your client suffered. If you say that they didn't enforce their rule against running, but he didn't run, and he wasn't injured by someone who was running, how can that be causal in nature?
Because, Your Honor, the rules were not just limited to not running. If this was just limited to not running, then I agree. Mr. Goines wouldn't have a case.
No, that's the one I'm talking about. I know there were a lot of rules. I'm not mentioning all of them. I'm not trying to group them all into one category. But you mentioned running, and I'm suggesting from my perspective that on at least some of the things that you allege were negligent, there isn't a causal connection. Running may be one of them. Am I wrong about that?
You're not wrong, Your Honor. Running is not one of the issues that we're appealing on.
Okay.
We're appealing on rushing, which could also be understood as hurrying or scurrying.
Same thing. If he didn't run, how can there be a causal connection between them not enforcing that safety rule and his injury? If he walked to the end of the row and caught his flip-flop and fell, he didn't run, and he didn't rush.
Well,
where are you?
Well, he did rush, Your Honor. And then this is actually one of the core issues in this appeal. He set out very clearly in his first amended, in his first affidavit, that he was in a hurried state. But he explained it was physically impossible for him to run as he was exiting a seating row. One of his allegations was that the seats were too close together. That case didn't survive the summary judgment motion. We're not appealing that. But the fact of the matter is, he's in cramped seating, and he's shuffling his feet. He's trying to get out of his seating row. He's trying to get out as fast as he can, but he's physically incapable of running, and that's what the issue is. When he was asked if he was rushing at his deposition, he interpreted that to mean running or something more to that, of that kin, like bolting out of his seat. He's moving in a hurried state, and that affects his ability to perceive his surroundings. That affects his ability to watch himself as he's exiting the seating row and as his flip-flop ultimately catches the armrest.
But he's asked at his deposition, this is page 93 of his deposition, okay, at the time of the incident, were you rushing? No. That's not a question about running. It's a question about rushing. He says no. So how can the affidavit not be contradictory?
The affidavit may appear to have a contradiction, but this is why the sham affidavit rule has a very important component. It actually has two very important components. One is that the affidavit contradict the testimony without explanation, and the other requirement is that the affidavit be an inherent contradiction, meaning that there's absolutely no other explanation.
And both of those. Didn't he testify to the jury, though, all of this anyway?
He testified to the jury, Your Honor.
I mean, the jury heard all this, that they were all running and they were doing this and the atmosphere was such that even though they played the video, don't run, right?
Well, actually...
Did they play the video, don't run?
They did play the video, Your Honor.
Okay, that they warn you, don't run. But he testified, I know he says, well, I thought rushing was this, but I really was hurrying. I didn't realize rushing and running was hurrying. That's how he got around it. Is that right?
Yes, Your Honor. And it's important to note...
So he claimed he was hurrying before the jury get out of the seat.
Yes, he clearly claimed this both on direct and on cross.
But you're not appealing any issues arising from the trial, as I understand your brief, right?
Correct, because we weren't allowed to make the arguments about the manner that the Quest game...
Your claim is that, generally speaking, I'm not breaking it down into specific components, but your claim generally is that through various orders and statements, the district court winnowed down your case into the case different than the one that you pled and the one that you wanted to try. And that was effectively a partial grant of summary judgment. And that's where the district court went wrong.
That's exactly what happened, Your Honor. And
but as to the specific things that went to trial, right? The few things that went to trial that you were allowed to argue, you're not appealing those.
We're not appealing the issues that we were allowed to bring before the jury.
Got it.
All right, so say what was the claim, and I think you started out with it, the first two things you said. The error was in not letting you argue to make a claim to the jury that they failed to enforce their safety rules. That was the claim.
Well, that,
not that they didn't have safety rules, but they failed to enforce it. And if I'm not stating that right, tell me what the claim is you say that was improperly wintered down. That's a good way to put it.
Well, that is the main claim, Your Honor.
Okay. Failure to enforce the safety rules.
Correct.
And then the other one I thought I heard you start with was failure to warn that you shouldn't wear flip-flops and failure to require that you have regular tied shoes or better shoes.
Correct.
Shoe claim.
Failure to not have adequate rules when they're hosting a game that involves hurrying.
They should have a rule that you are not allowed to wear flip-flops.
Correct, Your Honor.
That was what I understood your claim. And that's what I understood Judge Williams say. We're not doing a flip-flop case because it's not in the complaint. And you said, no, it's in the complaint. And I forgot the subparagraph. I know you said, no, it's there. Tell me what subparagraph you say the flip-flop claim is there.
It's actually in the...
In the third amended complaint.
Yes, in the description of the incident, paragraph 9.
No, I got that. I know it's in the factual allegations, but you make duties owed in the negligence count. You say, here's how you breached it. I know you made facts, but when you go to the breach, where do you say the breach is?
Okay, so are we talking both about the footwear now and the rushing the passengers?
We're talking about the footwear first.
Okay, Your Honor.
So 12, what subsection?
It's 12, subsection G. Wait a minute, actually, excuse me. If I may have one moment.
Certainly. I've got it in my notes. I can go back and look, but I thought you might.
Yes, excuse me. It's 12 subsection O. Through employing seats that were unreasonably and dangerously close together without adequate safeguards to prevent incidents such
okay,
as the
and
one.
Judge Williams said when you start getting into flip-flops, the O is not a flip-flop, adequate articulation of flip-flops by saying you can't wear. So O is the flip-flop. Now tell me where the failure to enforce the rules are.
Well, that's even more clear, Your Honor.
Okay,
that's,
which subparagraph is that?
It's paragraph 12, subparagraph Q.
Q.
That they were negligent for unreasonably rushing the game participants.
Okay.
Now tell me about where you think the district court erred with regards to the obvious and open doctrine. What does that potentially apply to, and what do you think it doesn't apply to?
Okay, the first and most important way that we believe the Honorable Judge Williams erred in applying the open and obvious doctrine, is that she appears to have interpreted this claim as a failure to warn claim. And granted, if this was just a failure to warn claim, this would be much more difficult for Mr. Goines, because the quest game is something that he does see going on in front of him. But this is not actually a failure to warn claim. In fact, the safety video did explain what the rules were. But the problem is, again, Royal Caribbean never enforced its rules. Royal Caribbean tells its passengers, in essence, that they're looking out for their safety. But then they don't do anything in this regard. It creates a false sense of security. It creates an atmosphere where, as Mr. Goines explained,
had he already run down before, and so they knew he was going to run, so they didn't enforce it? He hadn't run down before, right?
No, Your Honor.
You're saying that before he moved, however he moved and fell, there was somebody else? Does he say how many people had done it, and they didn't make them stop or something?
He doesn't give an exact number, but he does say that he saw people running down the stairs, and he saw a woman jump over the guardrail and to get to the stage below. So the issue here...
So if they had stopped and criticized those people, he would have been less likely to do what he did, run. Is that what he's saying?
Exactly, Your Honor. Okay. And he made that clear in his affidavit. He thought that because they weren't, he believed that this was appropriate behavior.
What was the need to rush or hurry?
The need to rush or hurry, Judge Jordan, is that the passengers will win points for their team if they come down to the stage with the item or the physical characteristic that the cruise director, who acts as the MC, calls out for. Basically, they're all divided up into teams, all the passengers that are there in Studio B where the game's held. And if you're a part of a team that the MC calls for one of these characteristics and you come there first, you're awarded the most points. And so forth and so forth. The last year there, you don't win any points.
Okay. Thank you very much. You saved your time for rebuttal.
Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Friedman.
Good morning, and may it please the court. Darren Friedman on behalf of the defendant, Royal Caribbean. None of the issues that have been raised on appeal rise to the level of reversible error. Nothing here warrants taking the decision of the jury away from the jury and remanding for a new trial. The issues that have been raised are either harmless or concern orders that were never actually made, but are something that's being surmised, or as Judge Jordan, as you noted, deal with issues that have no causal relationship to the injury that actually occurred. Those are the issues that are before you on the appeal, and none of them rise to the level of taking the decision away, the verdict away from the jury. The trial itself occurred on a very narrow issue as Judge Williams interpreted the pleadings based upon the fourth version of the complaint that was actually being tried. There was a complaint, a First Amendment, a Second Amendment, a Third Amendment. We were on the fourth version. And Judge Williams, after the Daubert rulings, which struck some of plaintiff's expert Mark Young's opinions, Judge Williams determined in denying summary judgment, because one might be left with the impression from the appeal that summary judgment was granted. It wasn't. It was denied in full. But Judge Williams ruled that the only issue left was this narrow issue of whether or not the defendant created a dangerous condition by allowing this game to be played in this venue. Of course, our position at that time, and I think would be the position of this court today, post the Pizzino decision, is that this case probably should have never gone to trial at all, because you can't go to a trial on the basis of creation of a dangerous condition. There needs to be notice established. But Judge Williams ruled based upon the Rocky decision.
Not always.
That is true. Not always. There are always exceptions. But she ruled based upon Rocky.
This was a static condition. This wasn't like water on the floor. She said, this is static. Why do you have people do the game with steps at all? Just do it on a flat plane. Do it some other situation.
Correct.
More and rooms between the seats. I actually thought they did pretty good to get her to go to the jury on a pretty broad. Just creating this game and this venue mm-hmm. is a recipe for disaster.
And that is the question.
And that's what they argued to the jury, and I actually think that had some force to it.
And that she allowed...
Put people in this thing and have them do this game with no handrails. I thought the handrail claim they tried was pretty good about the venue. At least have handrails if you have the steps.
And potentially the judge agreed with you because she did allow this. She denied summary judgment and allowed to go to the jury. And the jury found for the defense. The only question here is whether or not there was some error in those rulings in allowing the case to go forward as it did. And as I read the issues here, there is no error. There is no cause to reverse that decision of the jury. That narrow issue was this combination of factors, this individual either rushing or not rushing, catching a foot on a handrail, then falling into a stairwell, which was potentially not slip-resistant enough, slipping, continuing to fall, not being able to grasp onto a handrail to arrest his fall, and then landing. This was this combination effect which was allowed to go to the jury, which the jury decided there was no liability on the part of Royal Caribbean. And whether arguments were excluded from the court because there was no factual question or because the judge ruled as a matter of law, or whether it was a relevance order, in the end, the result was correct. And that's why all of these issues are harmless and the decision should be upheld. The case was tried based upon the pleadings that were in front of the court, which was this third amended complaint, which Judge Hull, as you noted, does not have these specific allegations concerning footwear, which they attempted to amend in the fourth amended complaint, which came after the discovery deadline. So even if the record is not perfectly clear, the result is, and the result should be upheld. Just to briefly touch upon some of the other issues, the affidavit. The issue concerning the affidavit, again, another instance where it's really harmless because the judge denied the summary judgment motion. So whether or not she took it into account or not, it didn't impact the ruling. Similar with the argument concerning prior incidents. Because the motion was denied, it did not affect the judge's ruling. What we have here is a case that went to trial. The jury was allowed to reach a verdict, and they ruled for the defendant. And unless this court has any other questions for us, we'll rest upon the pleadings and ask that the decision be affirmed.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
There are, as I think Judge Hull counted them, 18, 19 alleged instances of negligence in the third amended complaint. How many of those were tried?
Well, I don't know that I could say that they were each individually tried. What was tried was this question of whether or not the defendant created a dangerous condition by playing this game in this arena.
Well, my point is that a lot of those 19 don't go to that issue. They are separate from that issue. And that's their argument, I think. I don't know whether at the end of the day it'll win out, but their argument is that by the time the case got to trial, a lot of their contentions, specific contentions about negligence, had been improperly discarded, and they weren't allowed to proceed on them.
Right. And I do agree that the record is not as clear as I would like it to be. And that's why it isn't necessarily clear whether the judge found there were no questions of material fact and she was ruling as a matter of law, or she simply felt that some of these issues were irrelevant. But at the time of the trial...
What did you move for summary judgment on? Everything?
Everything.
But, I mean...
She denied it on everything, right?
Correct.
Right, that's where I... There's some dissonance for me.
And I do understand.
If you had moved for summary judgment, let's say, on 4 out of the 10 claims pled, then obviously you know that that's what everybody's zeroing in on, and you're not going to try to get summary judgment on the others. But if you move for summary judgment on everything, and summary judgment is denied on everything, isn't the result that everything gets tried?
Well, if you look at the actual separate allegations, they're not all necessarily distinct from each other.
Well, let's start.
Sure.
And I'm not sure that this matters to Mr. Goines, given the way he was injured, but failure to drain to allow for proper drainage of liquids from the area, was that tried?
No, and again, we are looking into what perhaps her reasoning was, but there was no evidence that there was any liquid on the ground. That was the actual evidence. So that's why I'm saying some of this may have been simply relevance because there was no evidence presented that any of these conditions existed. There was no argument made or no evidence put forward that there was any kind of liquid on the ground that the individual slipped on.
Failure to warn passengers about the dangers posed by the unreasonably and dangerously close together seats employed by defendant.
Now that argument wasn't tried because the expert opinions, Mark Young, his opinion on that was struck pursuant to the Daubert ruling. And that was mentioned in the summary judgment order.
Okay, unreasonably rushing the game participants, was that tried?
That sort of was tried because the individual, Mr. Goines, was allowed to testify about rushing, and he gave testimony to the jury that he was rushing, notwithstanding.
Was the jury instructed on that?
A specific
that
instruction?
That could be a basis for finding liability, that if Royal Caribbean encouraged its game participants to rush, it could be found negligent as long as there was a causal connection with the injury or not?
No, there was not a specific
instruction. Well, how did the issue get tried? Well, people testify about things all the time, but if the jury's not told to rule on them or decide on them, how do they get tried?
Sure. The general instruction that went to the jury was whether or not there was a failure to use reasonable care under the circumstances.
That's it? More specificity than that?
I would have to check the exact jury instruction. I would also say that specific issue is not on appeal here.
I know. I'm asking for my own edification.
Sure. No, I do not believe there was a more specific instruction going through each of these 19 and saying these are all the different ways that the jury could find that there was a failure to use reasonable care. Simply the question of whether or not there was a failure to use reasonable care, whether or not the defendant was negligent and that was the cause of injury.
Frank, you have anything else for him? Okay, Mr. Friedman, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Hayashi, before you start, at some point during your remaining 5 minutes, if you could tell me what sort of a jury instruction you requested on what theories in the district court that might help figure out what the jury was given and what the jury wasn't given.
Absolutely, Your Honor. In no uncertain terms, we requested that the jury be instructed that one of the ways that Royal Caribbean breached its duty of care to Mr. Goines was by failing to enforce its own safety rules. That's essentially the exact wording of what we sought to allow the jury to base its claim, find negligence on.
And the district court didn't give that instruction?
She did not.
Because?
Because her...
It was encompassed with the general instruction, or because she forbid you from making that argument to the jury?
Well, she was actually very clear that we did not... She made it very clear the only claim that was going to be going to the jury was that Royal Caribbean was negligent for hosting the Quest game in Studio B. And that's the instruction that we got. But that is not the same thing as failing to enforce its own safety rules. And so
that's why you started out with that claim to begin with when you first stood up.
Absolutely.
That's the claim that you wanted, was they were not enforcing their own safety rules.
Absolutely, Judge Holt.
And her ruling, for better or worse, and that's what we got to look at, was that's not in the complaint. That was not one of the 19 acts that you allege, failure to enforce the safety rules.
Well, Your Honor, that could be one of the reasons for her ruling, but actually...
And then the Fourth Amendment complaint, you put that in there, failing to enforce the safety rules.
I personally don't think it's the most likely that she denied this because of the complaint itself. And the reason why is because there really was no dispute about this. The defense, in their motion for summary judgment, actually split its open and obvious analysis into two parts, one that had to do with the obviousness of the structural defects, the alleged obviousness, and one about the alleged obviousness of the Quest game itself and how it was played. And they actually cited to the case Volman versus Royal Caribbean to say that there wasn't a claim for the way the Quest game was played. So they seem to have understood Mr. Goines was making a claim that Royal Caribbean was negligent for the operation of the Quest game. There really was no dispute about this until I think Royal Caribbean brought this up in their reply very briefly, very easy to miss, and I think in their reply in support of their motion in limine on the prior incidents. But they clearly understood we were making this claim. That's why they moved to for summary judgment against it. And I want to emphasize, we were not allowed to perhaps introduce one of the most powerful pieces of evidence which is the cruise director who was acting as the MC in this case. She testified in no uncertain terms that, to her knowledge, points were not deducted from running. That completely flies in the face of the safety rules that they were showing to their passengers. That completely is in line with how Mr. Goins believes Royal Caribbean was negligent in the operation of the Quest game. But Judge Williams did not allow this evidence to come in, and this did not allow him to tell the full side of his story. And that is what this case is about. It's not about what he tried in front of the jury. It's about what he didn't try. And that claim that they were not enforcing their own safety rules, without being able to make that claim, he was not able to explain his full side of the story, how Royal Caribbean was negligent. And he was deprived of essentially his day in court. And there's another important aspect to this too, maybe equally as important. He was not allowed to introduce evidence of prior incidents. Also very key to helping the jury understand why Royal Caribbean was negligent. First, the incident of Ms. Kristen Sika was practically on all fours of Mr. Goins' incident. The only thing that wasn't in common was there was uncertainty about the physical location she was in. There wasn't the same kind of evidence of structural defects. But as to Mr. Goins' claim about the negligent operation...
She was at the bottom step. She fell going off the bottom step.
Well, actually, that was Ms. Cynthia Smith, Your Honor. Ms. Kristen Sika was...
She had the sandals on, the wedge sandals.
Yeah, the platform
sandals.
She was hurrying out of her seating, just like Mr. Goins, trying to be the first to bring an item to her boyfriend who was down in the stage area, because that was called out for. But she tripped and she fell as she was leaving her seating. The only difference is she didn't fall all the way down the stairs. She fell on the stairs. But in all other aspects, she testified that that Royal Caribbean was not enforcing its own safety rules. She testified that that created this atmosphere where everybody was rushing and hurrying, like it was basically a free-for-all. And that the combination of all of these factors led to her incident.
I thought one of the things Judge Williams said about that, or maybe the briefs say it, that nobody, that was on a different ship. These three other people were on a different ship.
Well, yes, Your Honor.
Okay, they weren't on this ship. And nobody put in what the configuration of, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, I'm just trying to make sure I understand the record. And nobody put in what the configuration of the venue was on the other ships. Well, that was the argument.
Well, right, Your Honor, because Ms.
Was there a testimony what the configuration was on the other ships?
No, Your Honor.
Of where the Quest game was held?
Ms. Sika did not recall what the configuration of this arena was.
And I appreciate your candor. You're still saying it doesn't matter. It's relevant and should have come in.
Right, because our claim is that this is practically on all fours with Mr. Goins' claim that Royal Caribbean was negligent in the operation of the Quest game, including, most importantly, the failure to enforce its own safety rules, which was the same thing that happened in Ms. Sika's case. But I also want to emphasize that there was another important aspect, that she was wearing this sandal footwear, which was also something that happened with Ms. Cynthia Smith, who we presented the court an affidavit to that effect. That one was solely to show that Royal Caribbean was on notice that sandals were dangerous, which is exactly what Mr. Goins believes they should have had some rule to properly look out for his safety, given that they said they made safety a priority.
Go on a cruise and don't wear sandals. Or flip-flops.
Oh, well.
And particularly not when you're playing Quest.
Well, not when you're playing a game, especially a game.
Put it up there.
Especially in a game involving hurrying, Your Honor.
Hurrying.
If it was just a spectator sport, they can wear whatever they want. But when they know of at least two other incidents where the passengers fall as a direct result of the footwear they're wearing, I think Royal Caribbean at least should warn, if not outright.
I think one of the ladies said she actually slipped out of her whole flip-flop. It wasn't like it caught on something. She just stepped out of it.
Correct. That was Ms. Cynthia Smith.
Right.
But we believe it still goes to the dangerousness of the type of footwear that they wear. She was coming down to the last step.
I've got a question related to the jury instructions. On the transcript of the conversation between counsel and Judge Williams right before closing arguments, it says, specifically, plaintiff alleges that Royal Caribbean negligently created an unsafe and dangerous condition by hosting the Quest game in Studio B. And then it notes that counsel objected yesterday. Do you recall what the objection was to that language?
I do, actually, Your Honor. So the day before, that's actually when Judge Williams was explaining that she was going to narrow the jury instruction down to just instructing the jury about the negligence based on hosting the Quest game in Studio B. But she did mention that she was effectively not putting in details about the life safety code in that case. So, she wanted to make clear that we weren't waiving any kind of objections, both in general and as to the life safety code, because essentially what she was doing was she was just whittling down what the jury instruction was going to be based on her prior rulings, particularly her motion for summary judgment.
Was the objection related to the life safety code, or was it broader than that?
Well, we had been objecting all throughout trial that we wanted to introduce this theory of negligent operation of the game show, particularly failure to enforce our own safety rules, which we believe also has a component with the flip-flops because they said they put safety first. But but in general, Judge Williams was, we wanted it to be clear that Judge Williams was whittling the instructions down, but we weren't waiving any objections, and Judge Williams acknowledged that. And in fact, we raised a later objection on the following day again.
And what was the objection the following day?
Yes, the objection the following day was when we were going over concurrent causation, the instruction on concurrent causation, the judge asked what our concurrent causation issue was, and we made it clear that we believe that Royal Caribbean was negligent for failing to enforce its safety rules and the operation of the Quest game in general, for the structural defects in Studio B, and for hosting the Quest game in Studio B. But Judge Williams said, well, we know that the only issue that's going in front of the jury is the failure to, or is the hosting of the Quest game in Studio B.
Because it was a dangerous place to have this game.
That's true.
That was what she said.
Correct.
Okay.
But
and they didn't need to have notice of it. She didn't require any prior notice. She just said, per se, hosting it, you can go to the jury on this.
Yes, we could go to the jury on the hosting of the Quest game in Studio B.
Because of all the various defects there, the stairs, the no railings, all the various problems there.
Correct. That was the aspect of the case we were allowed to try. But we weren't able to go into how Royal Caribbean negligently operated the Quest game itself. And that's why we're here before Your Honor, before all of you, because Mr. Goines believes that that claim should be heard.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Hayashi. We appreciate it. Thank you both. We're in recess until tomorrow morning.